In the opening weeks of this new government, the focus is very firmly on housing and how to increase the numbers of houses and apartments to buy and rent. To buy and rent at a much cheaper price than is currently the case. Around 30,000 homes were built last year. Despite the repeated claims from the now Taoiseach and Tánaiste, the then housing minister and others, that 40,000 would be built. And now in recent days, the government is promising to re-examine the rent pressure zones, where, in theory, rent increases are capped at 2% per year, in a bid, it says, to incentivise international investors. It's also discussing tax breaks for developers, we're told, it says, to incentivise building. The average price of a home in Dublin is now over €600,000. Nationally, it's just under €500,000. Rents in the capital are on average around €2,500 a month. Nationally, the average rent is just under €2,000. The Labour Party leader, Ivana Bacik, will join us in a few minutes. But first, we're joined by Conor O'Connell, who's Director of Housing and Planning at the Construction Industry Federation. Conor O'Connell, you're very welcome to Morning Ireland. And talking there about potential tax breaks, potential changes to rent pressure zones where rents could be increased by more than 2%. Is that music to your ears?
It's certainly good news that they're looking at rental controls and other measures to attract back international finance. Clearly, over the last number of years, there's been a flight of international capital from Ireland. We've seen the collapse in apartment investment in Dublin in particular over the last 2 years. We've seen a 27% decline in the number of apartment completions. So there's clear evidence there at the moment that rental controls are simply not working and it needs to be reformed. There was an expert group established by the Department of Housing several years ago, the Housing Commission, to look at all of this. And the Housing Commission also recognised that rental controls simply do not work.
And yet those rent pressure zones have been in place since 2016 and international investors didn't pull out then. How much more could have been invested, do you think? Is there a figure for that, but for these rent pressure zones?
Well, what we're looking to seek to attract, we need to get from 30,000 units per annum up to 50,000 units per annum. That's going to require an extra 10 to 12 billion euro per annum. The state simply cannot do that. So we need to look at all measures. We're in an emergency crisis situation at the moment. It is quite clear everyone was shocked by the housing completion figures last year, and we need to look at everything. And of course, to attract back international finance, you have to have something to finance. You have to have a house, you have to have an apartment to finance. So we also need to look at the other supply determinants, zoned land, infrastructure planning. Can you, for instance, get an extension of duration in a timely manner for maybe some of your schemes that are running out of time? Can you connect to the utilities? Can you get through the judicial review process in a timely manner? So all of these factors also have to be examined if we're serious about delivering the necessary international capital for housing delivery.
Is there not an inherent contradiction then in government policy? On the one hand, it says it wants more houses built to bring down the price to buy and rent, but it's also saying then that private investors won't invest unless they get a better return. The implication being that private investors don't want to invest in cheaper houses.
It's not a case of either or. It's not a case of not investing in cheaper houses. Investors want to invest in all levels of stock, rental stock, or one particular type of residential or type of residential home. Apartments are simply very, very expensive to deliver. You need a certain rate of return. These international funds are generally speaking very conservative in their investment profile and what they'll invest in. They want to invest in certainty. That is why, you know, rental controls are part of a policy mix that would put them off investing in Ireland.
But why isn't that certain? A cap of 2%, they've known that exists since 2016. What's uncertain about that?
What is uncertain about that is that, shall we say, a significant part of their investment profile or examination of their investment profile into rental apartments in particular will be an examination of, for instance, maintenance costs over a period of time. So if you're capped at a certain level of 2%, which is low internationally, I don't know of any other country in the world that has a rental cap of 2%, it gives them an opportunity to go elsewhere. And we need them in Ireland, and we need to have an attractive place for them to invest in.
What happens to renters, though? Where are they left then if the type of controls that were in place to at least ease some of the burden of rental costs is removed?
Well, we also need to invest in other type of rental stock. For instance, at the moment, There are thousands of apartments delayed at the moment in Ireland because the funding stream for approved housing bodies and cost rental schemes, as we understand it, has dried up last October, November. So at the moment, tomorrow morning, with a stroke of a pen, if funding was released, we could construct thousands of cost rental apartments in Ireland and get housing supply delivery going straight away.
Why have those schemes dried up? Why did they dry up last October?
I don't know. It's a good question. But our understanding is our members are reporting that they're ready to go on many, many different apartment schemes, cost rental schemes with approved housing bodies. They've gone through board approval at the AHB level, but funding isn't available because it turned out to be such a popular scheme. So it's all about supply. So if we had more supply of the cost rental stock, if we had more supply of private market rental stock, it would all help with housing delivery and ensuring price stability for renters going forward.
How much then would the average, would the cost of that average house, 600 grand in Dublin, under half a million in the rest of the country, how much would that be reduced by if tax breaks were introduced, if those rental pressure zones were eased?
That's an extremely difficult question to answer, and I don't think anyone can answer that honestly. You'd have to see what has been proposed. Certainly, if you look at all the costs at the moment, a two-bed suburban, according to the Department of Housing last year, and their overall delivery cost, for instance, a three-bed, 1,100 square foot home in the suburbs of the, in the Greater Dublin region, between around 450 to 500. VAT makes up a significant portion of that. Special development levies make up a significant portion of that. Changing building regulations make up a portion of that. And of course, the financing costs make up a significant portion of that. You could be looking at 30,000 euro for a financing of a typical three-bed semi. So everything we can do to control costs will help stabilise the price.
So it's about more than supply then, is it, to bring down the costs?
Absolutely. Well, supply is a very, very significant factor, but also the soft costs that go into delivery. We've seen people availing of the development waiver and water connection rebate scheme as a mechanism to attract finance for their residential units that they've got permission for. And we've seen that work to a certain extent, but we need more of it in terms of price, not price controls, but stability in our regulatory environment, including rent controls that will allow and attract people back into Ireland to fund housing.
Yeah, it's just that over 90,000 houses were being built at the time of the boom in the mid-noughties, but houses weren't affordable then either. Why would they be now?
Look, housing, actually, to purchase your own home is actually, in Ireland, is probably more affordable than renting, you know? So maybe there needs to be a focus. The debate at the moment over the last few days has certainly been on rental controls and attracting back investors for apartments. But we also must consider the supply factors for ordinary houses, which will make them more affordable. And that will be, if you put the infrastructure into the ground, you invest in water, wastewater, you invest in servicing the lands that are zoned, you actually protect the zonings that are currently there. We have a situation, for instance, where some has lands that have been zoned years ago are now being effectively dezoned as a result of the expiry of local area plans. So, so we need to invest at the very start of the process in order to ensure price stability going forward.
Thank you very much for talking to us. Conor O'Connell, Director of Housing and Planning at the Construction Industry Federation. The Labour Party leader, Ivana Bacic, joins us now. Ivana Bacic, you're very welcome indeed. Do you agree that international investors need to be incentivised to do business here now?
Well, good morning, Audrey, and thank you for inviting me on the programme. And I listened very carefully to your previous guest, and I think he's certainly right to say this is all about supply. It is all about increasing the delivery of homes. I think there are serious concerns about government proposals floated by the Taoiseach in recent days, where he's proposing tax breaks for developers, some sort of ending of rent pressure zones. I think these sort of measures, which appear to have been just developed on the hoof without any evidence basis, there is no evidence that these will help to provide more homes. The question about international investors is very interesting. Some years ago, back in 2019, 95% of apartments being built in Ireland were sold to institutional landlords, to big investors. There was no sense that that was delivering affordable homes for people. Indeed, most people were priced out of being able to buy homes at that point. So I think we need to be very careful about this. The ESRI did a major report some years ago looking at tax breaks, and they concluded that tax breaks for developers lead to a transfer of tax revenue from the state to developers without any significant effect on supply. And the reality, Audrey, is the builders and construction industry stakeholders I speak to tell me that they cannot afford to build currently. It's the cost of construction that is the huge disincentive to building. We need to address that through ensuring that the state takes a more active role in the delivery of homes.
I want to talk to you about that in just a moment, because I know you have a motion on that coming before the Dáil today. But just addressing what Conor O'Connell said about the need to attract back that high level of investment, international capital. In 2 years, there has been a flight of it, 27% decline in the number of apartments built. If the country is to build enough houses and apartments to meet the deficit, to meet the demands of the growing population, doesn't it need international investors to be in the mix? And they need to be incentivized.
Well, clearly we need to see diverse forms of delivery. We need to ramp up supply to a point where we are delivering homes at much greater scale.
But the state can't do that by itself.
No, and we have never said that. We want to see a diverse mix of forms of delivery. But what we are saying is that the state needs to take a more active role in delivery, because what builders are telling me is that only the state has the deep pockets to bear the risks of construction up front. And Audrey, the cost of construction is now exceedingly high. Last year's report from Trinity finding that the cost of building an apartment in Ireland is now €2,363 per square metre. The Construction Industry Federation telling us that there are huge obstacles to building, and lack of financing up front is a crucial one. So for Labour, what we are proposing is a range of measures to address this, including the ramping up of the Land Development Agency, to ensure that they can deliver homes directly, but also more measures in place to provide long-term financing for approved housing bodies so they can deliver, and a real concern about that drying up of streams of funding for AHBs last year. There are a whole range of factors that have contributed to the slowdown.
And I just want to ask you about renters, because they are so important and they are under real pressure year to year. If those rent pressure zones are changed, either the cap removed or increased, whatever, what would be your suggestion for how they can avoid escalating rent?
Well, the first thing is that renters are now desperately concerned and distressed about the prospect of seeing their rents go up further. We know there are flaws with rent pressure zones, but they have provided renters with a safety net and with protections against rises. What we have proposed is a rent freeze, a three-year rent freeze, while we are ramping up the delivery of homes. Because certainly, I think all across government and opposition are agreed, we need to ramp up supply. It's how we do it. And for Labour, we are proposing today, in our motion before the Dáil, the first substantive debate on housing we'll have had in this new Dáil term, we are proposing a clear pathway of measures, including protections for renters, but crucially, including a new role for the Land Development Agency in a far greater input into direct delivery of homes. And that, we say, is the best way to ensure that renters and those who want to buy their own affordable homes will have the necessary homes available to them to buy. This is the civil rights issue of our generation, Audrey.
Okay.
We absolutely need to take radical action to address this. We have an ambitious plan for doing so, and we're disappointed that the government are simply rejecting our proposals and are not coming up with any credible and sustainable pathway to deliver more homes
themselves. Thank you very much indeed. Labour Party leader Ivana Bacik. It's 8:26.